Welcome to USGBC's podcast on building decarbonization. I'm Taryn Holoka. Decarbonization has become a shorthand way to talk about the process of getting greenhouse gas emissions out of the economy, since carbon dioxide dominates the greenhouse gas emissions. Building decarbonization refers to plans, policies, and actions to achieve deep reductions in the building sector's greenhouse gas emissions, totaling a whopping 31% of energy-related CO2 emissions, both globally and in the U.S. At the building and portfolio scales, decarbonization starts with well-insulated envelopes and high-efficiency systems to reduce energy needs, and then meets those needs with low-carbon sources, such as renewable energy from on-site, grid, or purchase. Buildings can further reduce operational carbon with grid integration and demand response, smart technology, and energy and thermal storage, as well as reducing indoor and outdoor water needs and all forms of waste. Decarbonizing buildings also means addressing the embodied carbon in materials, including initial construction and renovations, and emissions from construction site activity and equipment. At the community and policy scale, building decarbonization efforts encompass a range of scopes and approaches. Climate action plans with robust building sector strategies can set the stage for decarbonization actions and policies. Leading building decarbonization strategies are data-based through modeling and use of building data, and place-based to reflect local priorities, needs, and equity considerations. Driven by goals, actions to decarbonize buildings typically involve policies and investments in deep energy efficiency. Beneficial electrification and renewable energy and storage, and ideally peak demand reductions. Policy approaches to decarbonize construction and materials are emerging. Some jurisdictions' approaches aiming to achieve net zero carbon or carbon positive buildings may involve carbon offsets and binding carbon in construction materials. So why does it matter? In the latest Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, their report, the world's top climate scientists warned that we are running out of time to avoid the worst impacts of climate change and called for immediate and deep emissions reductions across all sectors. The IPCC offers some cautiously optimistic findings regarding actionable solutions and finds that there is a brief and rapidly closing window of opportunity to reverse course. As the IPCC chair said, "We are at a crossroads. The decision we make now can secure a livable future." The reality is driving 1.5 degrees aligned goals and commitments from governments and corporations around the globe. Many states and cities are pledging to achieve climate neutrality by 2050. For the private sector, there are many commitment platforms such as the Science-Based Target Initiative's Net Zero Standard, the Climate Pledge, and the Net Zero Asset Owner Alliance. And they're growing and they're driving companies to announce Paris-aligned goals. And stemming from the recommendations of the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, financial regulators in a growing list of countries are putting in place requirements that will push public companies to increase transparency as they work towards implementing these goals. We can't meet the urgent climate goals without addressing new and existing buildings. Currently, buildings are responsible for an estimated 25.5% of global energy-related CO2 emissions, including direct from on-site consumption of fossil fuel for heating and cooling, and indirect fossil fuel-based electricity energy consumption, comprising the majority of buildings' operational CO2 emissions. A building's construction phase involves both construction site emissions and embodied carbon in materials and products, with cement and steel emissions alone estimated at 5.6%. Together, buildings and construction account for at least 31% of energy-related CO2 emissions globally. Decarbonization of the building sector is possible. The IPCC found that up to 61% of global building emissions could be mitigated by 2050 if policy packages are effectively implemented and barriers to decarbonization are removed. These reductions were projected to come from energy efficiency policies at 42%, policies that avoid demand for energy and materials, so-called sufficiency policies, at 10%, and renewable energy at 9%. This underscores the necessity of incorporating efficiency and clean energy into building decarbonization actions and policies. The IPCC concluded that the 2020 to 2030 decade is critical for accelerating the learning of know-how, building the technical and institutional capacity, setting the appropriate governance structures, ensuring the flow of finance, and in developing the skills needed to fully capture the mitigation potential of buildings. So let's talk about LEED. For over a decade, LEED has aimed to reduce the greenhouse gas pollution of buildings. As part of the rigorous cycle of continuous improvement and evolution, USGBC is working with our volunteers and committees to take big steps forward with the next version of LEED. We understand that this is the time for sweeping change, and we intend to address all opportunities for reducing carbon emissions, including operational carbon, embodied carbon, refrigerants, electric mobility options, and carbon sequestration. Project teams working to decarbonize a project can apply LEED as a holistic framework, helping not only to develop an integrated approach for climate, but also to ensure baseline consideration of health, clean water, and other important outcomes. To emphasize decarbonization results, aim for LEED Gold or Platinum levels while maximizing energy and atmosphere points to go deeper on energy efficiency. Implement grid optimization to reduce contributing to peak demand and its typical higher GHG intensity, and use renewable energy credits. With the LEED V4.1 Energy Optimization Credit, LEED adds the metric of greenhouse gas emission improvement with the intent to push all projects toward decarbonization. Projects should also utilize key credits supporting low carbon outcomes such as the Whole Building Lifecycle Analysis Credit and those that reduce non-energy sources of carbon emissions, including water, materials use, building-related transportation, and waste generation. Bringing projects into LEED for existing buildings, operations, and maintenance, and pushing operational performance is critical and drives outcomes. A University of California at Berkeley study of the GHG reductions from non-energy categories for LEED-certified existing buildings in the state found that LEED-certified buildings were associated with 50% fewer greenhouse gas emissions from water use, 48% fewer emissions from solid waste, and 5% fewer from transportation. To go further, LEED Zero is available and recognizes buildings that demonstrate net zero carbon operations through 1 year's worth of data. Jurisdictions can use LEED and LEED Zero with directed credits and levels as a component of decarbonization policies. So USGBC's policy position is that we support building decarbonization policies at the local, state, and federal level. Policies that aim to decarbonize building operations include a suite of policy mechanisms focused on energy-related greenhouse gas emissions, energy efficiency standards and codes and incentives, building energy benchmarking, building performance mandates, incentives and code pathways for low net zero green buildings, beneficial electrification, public building leadership policies, requirements and incentives for building grid integration, demand response, and peak demand reduction, renewable energy and solar-ready requirements and incentives, and policies targeting workforce development, utility programs, and other market forces. For embodied carbon and materials, emerging policies have focused on public procurement by specifying GHG intensity of key construction materials and requiring environmental product declaration for products and materials. We support multi-attribute approaches to consider human and environmental health as well as GHG emissions. Beyond energy-related emissions, policies for refrigerant replacement and management can help reduce potent GHG releases. Policies requiring or incentivizing green roofs, walls, and sites can absorb CO2 and reduce other air pollutants. And regulations to reduce wastes, including construction and demolition waste, and to increase reuse, recycling, and composting are all important to address life cycle greenhouse gas emissions. So, three things to know. Decarbonizing buildings, including operations and construction phases, is essential to meet our collective climate goals. Second, building decarbonization policies provide the opportunity to address multiple priorities of the jurisdiction, such as improving health and equity, while reducing the GHG emissions from the building sector. And third, USGBC supports building decarbonization efforts and plays a role in informing and engaging our members, as well as advocating for strong and effective policies. We actively engage in supporting and shaping policies across the spectrum. We advocate for clear, time-bound goals and targets backed by specific policies that may include regulatory and non-regulatory approaches. Transparent tracking and accountability are critical to provide feedback loops and inform policy refinement. As jurisdictions develop policies to implement building decarbonization, we recommend that they consider integrating priorities beyond carbon reductions, such as public health, water resources, and more. Often, the best practice for these areas are complementary and also reduce the associated carbon emissions. Now for the opportunities and challenges. First, recognizing carbon intensity. Understanding true carbon emissions of a building requires factoring in the time of use of grid energy because grid carbon intensity varies by minute and by season. Yet, the availability of granular data or factors to reflect time of use is still developing. Additionally, the relevant carbon intensity of power delivered to a building can be altered significantly through green fuel programs or renewable fuel subscriptions. Second, construction phase and materials. Policies to address these components of construction-related emissions are evolving, but typically embed lower carbon materials incentives or standards into their procurement, often referred to as buy clean policies. Buy clean policies aim to use government construction procurement for lower carbon building materials through incentives by rewarding bids with such materials or requirements, such as with building carbon intensity standards. Some jurisdictions, including a coalition of 5 Western states and the federal government, are joining together to leverage their purchasing power in this way. Coalitions are also working on reducing construction site emissions, including solutions like electric construction vehicles, as well as materials. And then finally, end of life. Part of a building's life cycle footprint comes at the end of its life when it is demolished, creating construction and demolition waste, requiring transportation and disposal, typically landfill or incineration. Approaches to reduce end-of-life carbon impacts include deconstruction policies, construction and demolition recycling requirements, and building material and product design and selection. For more information on building decarbonization, please visit usgbc.org.